Thank you again, Lord. Thank you for being here with us. Continue to lead us and direct us. And let these words speak mightily into us, Father. For they are your words. And I ask it in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, so good morning again. You guys still look good. So even with my glasses off, you look even better. But I want to take up where we left off a little bit last week. And we're not going to go through the whole thing, of course. I want to jump back in where I kind of left off. But the message was basically, what are you reflecting? And where it talks about that God said, let us make man in our own image, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Amplified would expound upon that. According to our likeness, that's not the physical attributes and things of that of God, but a spiritual personality and the moral likeness of that of God. And so we discussed that, and we got to the point of looking at what are some of those attributes of God. And when I began to look at some of those things, it talked about his areas of his patience. I don't know about you, but I know that my God has been very patient with me. And I hope I didn't wear out his patience when he got to you. Isn't that sometimes like we talk to our kids that way? It's like, my patience is about gone now, you know. And then you get your brother or sister right behind that going, oh, great, great, what's left for me? But I'm trusting I haven't used up my God's patience, because he's ultimately just a vast supply of patience. Amen for us. But it looked at like patience and forgiveness and kindness and faithfulness, all these things that God is about. Because we can see these things in him. And then I jumped to that into Galatians 5:22, because it's all of a sudden it hit me like, well, that's like the fruits of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, you know? And so we touched upon that. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You mean God's got to have self-control? I believe so, because some of the things I've done, he probably would have blotted me out of here by now. You know, like, you're out of here. You know, but thank you, Lord, for self-control for yourself, you know? But anyway, as I got into that and you begin to look at a lot of that, it just seemed to mirror those things that we read in the Scriptures in the New Testament about that of the fruits of the Spirit that we should be hopefully walking in. How wonderful it would be if we could walk in all of those all the time. How many here would like to raise your hand and say, you walk in all of those fruits of the Spirit all the time, unending? Thank you for being honest, because it's hard. But with the God's help and with the Spirit help of the Holy Spirit in us, he helps us get through a lot of these struggles. And then when we do mess up, he comes along and he speaks into our spirit, and he doesn't convict us of these things. He doesn't condemn us, I should say, but he just convicts us to say, Tim, you could have been a lot more gentle with that person. You could have showed a little bit more love to that person. Oh, where is that peace that you should be having right about now? You know, anybody here just get through this life and sometimes you lose your peace really quick, you know? And it's a struggle in this time and day and age, but I'm sure back in Jesus' day, there was issues going on with the government and the things. It wasn't, you know, perfect back then. It's not perfect today and the things that we're going along with in society, trends that were taking place back in Jesus' day. They're probably no different than the trends that we've got going today. So nothing is different or new as what God is looking at. But as I look at these things, it's just that we need to have that peace and that joy and that control that we can reflect him. Remember, that's who we're reflecting. Now, last week, I think all the folks, oh, this mirror, these are heavy mirrors. These are the original mirrors of this school. And anybody that works in the school district knows that they don't buy, you know, like little flimsy mirrors. These things here have some weight to them. They actually have like a hardback on the back too, you know. But anyway, I kind of looked at it and said, what are you reflecting? And over here, everybody was over here last week. So I could just go through there and you know, it was nice. Some of the ladies were checking out their hair. It is some of the guys too, I think. They were kind of like, kind of doing that little sprucing up thing, you know. But when I got to God's word and he says, we're made in his image, and then the word and things began to look at, and some studies I got to, it talked about, what are you reflecting? What of that of God are you reflecting? It makes us really, I would hope, take it to heart that when people see you, who do they see? Do they see Tim, or do they see my Lord? We go along that path, and many of us have heard this, that we are the only Bible many people are going to read. Correct? You know, it's the Bible that comes out of us by our actions. I think a lot of times by the things that we don't say speaks highly of who you are in Christ. Because you're able to hold your tongue and don't unleash it on the poor person. Maybe they've already beaten themselves up. We don't need to beat them up. We need to come along with love, compassion, support. Put our arm around them or do something. Lend them an ear. I have found many times that a lot of times that I've talked with individuals that all I've got to do is shut up. Is it easy for you to shut up, to listen? Not always. I'm trying to get better at it to where I can just zip it and just listen. And in reality of that is because it gets it out of them. They are able to share that frustration. They're able to share that hurt. They're able to share that anger. And a lot of things that you go through today with the post-traumatic stress and all these things and quick things that happen and distress and eustress and all of that, a lot of time it's just like you get with that person or that group for a little bit and you just allow things to be talked out and just get it out. And it helps because we are a people that like to bury things. Pastors are like that. We like to bury things. Just like you like to bury situations that you've gone through and hardnesses of your lives and the struggles and the things that you've dealt with. If it wasn't for our Wednesday's pastors group to where a few of us can get together and have coffee and pray and laugh and joke, I don't know where we would be. We'd probably be, you know, what, Mendota, I think people call that. You know, like, hey, I'll be seeing you in Mendota Monday, you know. I got church on Sunday, be in Mendota Monday, you know. But it's that a group of pastors that can talk amongst ourselves and laugh, you know. And anyway, but it's to be that ear for people to just talk. And that's showing that of God. Have you ever talked to God a lot? And he just listens. I've never had God say, Tim, wait, I don't really have time for you today. Oh, Tim, wait, because so-and-so's got my time now. God is infinite. He's all-knowing, all-present, everywhere, you know. He can do multiple things all at one time. And but I've known when I've talked to him in situations, I've never felt God say, Tim, I don't have time for you right now. Could you come back at 2 o'clock this afternoon? He's always there, day or night. So that's my God. That's the likeness that I was made into, hopefully, to be upon this place where he has set us all to be that image of him here. Now, we know in the Word of God where Jesus shares, I think in John, we might get up there, maybe not. John 14:9, where it talks about the revealing that of God, where Jesus told his disciples and Tom and Philip and all them that, hey, if you've seen me, and this is Jesus speaking, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father in heaven. And so that's when we look at those things, that as you see me, if I see Paul or somebody looks at Doug or Linda or Dawn or any of us here, that they should hopefully see that of God in us and that we're reflecting that image of him. But now, after we got past the fruits of the Spirit, we got into that as far as Jesus speaking reveals this of God the Father. John 14:9, Jesus says to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus, throughout some scriptures, also always reaffirmed that what he said, he only said because who said it first? The Father. Jesus said throughout scriptures at times, I only do what I see the who do, the Father do. Jesus was here facing men and women, and he was speaking as if God were here. God, of course, was in the flesh of that of Christ, but he was speaking like what God would be speaking, and he was doing what God was showing him to do. And so what a great representation of Jesus on this earth, amen, of God. But yet his people back then were still looking for more. Well, what is God? Who is he? We do that today many times.
Who is God? Where is He?
I hope when they say, where is He? I hope they could say, well, I don't know totally about God, but as much love or as much that you have helped me or whatever, I sure think that God may reflect some of that, or you're reflecting some of that of God in this situation. And then it's not something to put lightly. It's a challenge to know that you're reflecting what? Our Heavenly Father. Think of it in the natural of, you know, when your kids or whoever, they get up and they go out. And once you let them go from the house, and they're out in the neighborhoods and the cities and they're doing things, who are they reflecting? The parents. A lot of times it's the parents. It's how were they raised? Now, granted, you have some great parents that do some great jobs of raising kids, but they get out into the world, right? And they hook up with the crowd that's out there, and then you've got issues. I'm just not saying it's all 100%, okay? But in the very, 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 very beginning, they look at that as like, what kind of a household did those kids and family come out of? And after a while, like I say, they get out and they pick up. And that's what we all do. We leave the home, and we get out in society, and then we begin to reflect what? Society. Because we're out of the home. We receive Christ, and we are a child of His, but we don't stay close enough to Him all the time, basically 24/7, 7 days a week, you know, 365 days out of the year. We need to be with Him every day of the year. Now, not serving to the point of going to church and doing this and doing that, but we need Him in our life so when we're out representing Him that we're following what He would want us to do. But we get away from Him enough and we get into the world, and pretty soon some of the things of the world come back upon us, and pretty soon the world can't tell if it's more of God or more of the world. And I love it when people get turned on for God and they go back and they tell testimonies and they go back to their peers or their friends and they go, there's something different about you. You're not the same. Well, praise God. Have you ever done that under your breath maybe when somebody says, hey, you're not like I remember you. It's been, you know, 10 years, 15 years since I last saw you. You were a little demon or a big demon back then. What has changed? Ah, let me tell you what has changed. And you begin to share your testimony of the love of Christ. So people can see when you change for that of God. And people see that when you change from that of God to that being of the world again. We're all under somebody's microscope, don't you think? Somebody's always examining us, looking at you. Trying to figure you out. Didn't Miles would say one time, you know, one of his studies, his DVDs and series, is that, you know, the world will be quick to remind you that you're not acting like a Christian should be acting, even though they're not. Because they already know what they're to be acting, you know, like out and lost in the world. But heaven help us if they know that you go to church, even if it's once every 3 months, and they call you a Christian. And they go, well, that's not how you Christians are supposed to. I say, well, how do you know how a Christian's supposed to act? You know? But it's not that. You hear that and you go, oh, what did they see in me that's not representation of the image that I'm to be reflecting? I find that as I'm representing Him in the image and reflecting of that of God, I need to walk to where, you know, even when things break, I don't want to go, oh, great, now what, God? I just go, well, praise God. I guess He's got a plan for something else, you know. I don't know. And something else good will come along, or He'll put me in connection. Or I've done some things that I've, you know, I thought, well, you know what? I go back to what my dad said. He was a great mechanic. He could take anything apart, put it together. I said, how do you remember where all this goes, Dad? He always says, hey, I figured if man put it together and designed it, I can take it apart and put it together too. That was just his knowledge of mechanics and doing things with engines and anything mechanical. And so I kind of remember some of that when I went into like fixing the ice maker of my refrigerator. I go, ha, man did it, I can do it, I'm a man. Oh, Lord, help me. Went to my corner, my closet in prayer and prayed first. But and I, hook it up and do this and change the valve and plug it in, and it's going, it's operating. I go, wow, this is great. Now, am I going to open up an appliance repair shop? No. But it's those things that God gives you to help you to develop those things. But it's just the way of God loves us and takes care of us. But getting back to where how the world likes to say, well, you're a Christian, you're supposed to give me $20. You're supposed to give me $50. No, I'm not. I'll pay the bill for you, but I won't give you the cash. Or it might be, no, I've already given two or three times to help you, and that's not helping. I'm enabling you, you know. So anyway, those are things that you've got to look at. We want to represent him, but we want to represent him in the right light. I feel at times when people do that, I feel like they're using my God. And when they start using my God, I get a little upset. It's like, oh, no, I'm not that God needs my protection, right? Like, who am I? Like, I'm going to protect my God. I'll go and take care of you. He's my, oh, now, Tim, settle down. I'll take care of it myself. But it's like, it's my daddy in heaven, man. It's my father. Don't be using his name to benefit you to get what you want, and you're using him. Don't be using my daddy in heaven, amen. I'll stand up to that. But God can take care of it himself. He's a big God. So anyway, he'll give us the words to say, how to help that person, how to try to put them in the helps that they need. And how? What's that old saying? You can lead a horse to what? Water, but can you make the doggone horse drink? No. So you can lead them to all these things, and will they take up on it or not, then it's up to them to handle those situations. But as we reflect these things, the image and the invisible God, Paul is writing here talking about these things, and Jesus was sharing it there in John about when you've seen me, you've seen that Father. So now Paul goes a little bit further in Colossians, we want to get to, 1:15. In Colossians 1:15, he says that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That's speaking of who? Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. We are the image, the reflection of the invisible God. The image here, the Greek word here for image, means an exact revelation and representation. The image that Jesus was portraying and that Paul is sharing here, that it says that he is the image of the invisible God, is that he is the exact revelation and representation of God the Father. It's not just a copy. It's an exact replication of that. As we read in that of Genesis 1:31, when God saw that, what, everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good, so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So when God saw everything that he had made, this is talking about even us, okay? God saw that all that he had created was excellent in every way. We are part of God's creation. Amen? Well, look around. We, you, the person next to you, around you, is a creation of that of God. I love looking at his creation in the natural, but you know, looking at people, sometimes I'm going to tell you, sometimes trees and flowers look a lot better than people sometimes, but I'm not going to go there, forget that. Okay, but anyway, but they're made in his creation. They're a part of his creation, and evidently they're excellent, okay? It says that God saw that all he had created was excellent in every way. We are part of God's creation, and he is pleased with how he's made us. If at times you begin to feel worthless or of little value, remember that God made you for a good reason and that you are valuable to him. The devil wants to say that you are of no value. Once the devil can get you to the point of you devalue yourself, then you become worthless to yourself and you feel like, well, if I am worthless to myself, I have no value to anybody around me. So what's the purpose of my life? We all have a purpose and a plan, remember? Back in Jeremiah, remember also it talked about where he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. All these plans that God has for each and every one of us. Why is it that we allow the devil to put these thoughts into us that says you're worthless, you're useless? Oh my gosh, no. If I look at this, he created everything and everything he created was excellent. Now, when we get into these things and we get kind of talking about this, and everything was good and everything was created well, that was before the what in the garden? The F-A-L-L. The fall that took place in the garden when sin came into what God created as perfect. If sin had not come in, our bodies would not be hurting. Your knees would not be replaced. Your heart would be fine. Your hip would be fine. Your shoulder would be fine. Your mind would be great. Right? Probably could have lived to be 300 or 400 or 500 years old. I don't know. Can you imagine getting married back when you're only like 200 years old and you're going to be married for another 300 years? Whew. Oh, I love you, honey. I'd do it. I'd do it again. It'd just be more time to love you. But when sin came into this place, everything that God created perfect and good got changed. We had on our Thursday Bible study talked about some of these things, about how when you go to talk to people about these things, about their hurts and the pains and the things they're going through, and how can God do this? Why would God do this? And you know, now this is where, when you don't know where they're at with that of God and their faith, I think that's where you kind of extend some grace. Don't beat them over the head with the Bible. But you can calmly and just share from my perspective and what I read in God's Word, it was all perfect until this time. And then once Satan came in, all of God's perfect creation developed sores, pains, and were starting to hurt in joints some way down the road, you know? And I know when people are going through the pain and the hurts and all that, I don't know if that really is what they want to hear, but I kind of deflect it from that God did it. I kind of take it back, no, when sin, which devil, when he came into this whole system and got this kind of turned upside down, you ought to be getting mad at the devil, not God. Has anybody ever really heard, other than those that are in the kingdom of understanding, the Christian of the understanding of the war, like our thing here, the warfare and the warring and battles that we go through, that we know that the battle is against that of the demonic or that of the evil one, God of this world, whatever you want to call him, devil, Satan. But out in the world, when you've heard somebody that doesn't have that relationship and that standing with God, is I always hear them get so upset and mad with God, but I never hear them get mad at the devil. Now, maybe it's just me, but they never get upset with the devil. And the devil is the very one that's out here creating all of this dissension and deceptions and lies and hurts and, you know, the things that are taking place in our society, in America, in society around this world. It's the devil. But anyway, we don't hear the people complain about the devil, but they love to complain and say, well, if God was so good, then they're being lied to by that of the devil, because the devil is saying that the God is doing this. So then they don't, why would I want to receive God as a love? He's not a loving God. My child has a disease. I've got illness in my body. A loved one died too young. It's things that you've got to step back from it a little bit, and you got to get with God and to realize that God says, when I first created this and I was done and I rested on that seventh day, everything was good. But now we're into where we're at, and we're not going to give up, amen, because we are reflecting him in this place. He's put us here to be his ambassador. He's put us here to be his representation to those around us. He has put us here. I say many times, America is blessed to have any level of Christianity left or in it, because as Christians are praying, we're holding off sometimes that of what God could do, you know, as far as unleashing what he would say. He would say, I'm done with you. It wasn't long after he created everything that he was about ready to just say, I'm done, there are these people, I'm just going to wipe them out, forget it. But somebody came in and says, well, wait a minute. And he listened. Grace, extending of grace. When God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good, so the evening and the morning were that sixth day, Genesis 1:31. All of us, we're part of this verse. When God saw that everything he made, it was very good. God saw that all that he had created was excellent in every way. We are part of God's creation. We've got to be careful that we don't devalue what God says is valuable. That's where you've got to talk to people when they're having a hard time. They look down upon themselves. It's for us, by that of the Spirit of God in us, to sit there and say, you are created by that of God. There is value in you. Sometimes we have to help them find that value, don't we? Sometimes when somebody has felt like they've been tarnished for so long, for sometimes decades, it's like it's kind of hard to find that shining part of them as far as being able to reflect that of God. But with God, all things are possible, as he's given us this charge to do this and to help one another. Now, as we begin to know and understand who we are and created in God's image, we are reflecting that. He has given us a job to do. In Genesis 1:28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And the New Living, that subdue it, would be saying govern it. We're to govern it. Have dominion. Dominion would say reign, to have reign over this. R-E-I-G-N, to reign. Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. The key into that verse right there is two things. He said to fill the earth, subdue it, govern the earth, and then have dominion or reign over all of it. He has given us that charge. Dominion would be this, to have the sovereignty, jurisdiction, the rulership, to rule, govern, to reign, having dominion, exercise authority. So I find this in Zechariah. It's a word wealth of what this definition is. And it repeats it here. Dominion, sovereignty, jurisdiction, rulership. This noun comes from the verb that means to rule, to govern, to reign, have dominion, to exercise authority. Once we understand that God's word tells us to subdue this place and to have dominion over it, is you do what? You take authority over it. You take authority where God has placed you. Do I have authority in California? Probably not. But I live in Wisconsin. I can have authority in Wisconsin. You start looking at some of these things, you know, well, I'm a citizen of America. Does that matter of America? I don't, you know, you can look at where this authority goes and begin to look at it, but it goes to wherever God wants it to go, to where you feel like when God tells you to pray for something, you pray with authority. Amen? You don't willy-nilly just go up there and just pray and, well, God, I just want to pray about this situation and I hope it's all able to be taken care of by you. You go and you pray with authority. God, I'm coming with prayer for you to intercede into this situation in my nation, in my state, in my household, whatever the case, in my neighborhood. Whatever God has put within you, and you begin to understand that authority, you begin to walk in that authority, not pridefulness, not look at who I am, but who is in me that I can walk into these situations and pray. When I pray for authority in these situations, do I get an instant answer by 6 a.m. the next day? No. Anybody here did? Some people do, maybe, you know. But I have had some instances in my life to where I have prayed with some of my kids regarding, as we are just now getting into the times of school, where I had one son that was having a hard time at school, just a hard time. Talked to him one evening. Kids back then were just, you know, on the playground. I don't know, they bullying or just what kids do. Back when I was in school, bullying has gone on forever. It's not just now. But back in my days, they would, you know, harass you and say things. You just kind of learn to leave them or go or whatever. But it's a little different today, I suppose. I don't know. But anyway, we've always had bullies in school. And so I took my son one evening. He was in his room. And I said, what is going on, man? Well, this is going on and on the playground. I just don't want these kids and blah, 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 blah. So I said, well, here's what we'll do. We'll pray. I was remembering some of those Miles things and reading of this understanding of God's word of dominion and authority and things. And I said, well, let's pray. So I just prayed that night. Just prayed a basic prayer. Lord, whatever it is, I can't even remember. But I do remember that I said at the end, Lord, let him have tomorrow the best day he has ever had in school. So we said amen. He went to bed. I went to bed. We got up. I went to work that day. He came to school. He came home. We got home. We got together. I said, well, how was, you know, now granted, okay, I'm going up to him and say, okay, how was it, you know? Inquiring minds want to know. I prayed. I want to hear the results. And he says, Dad, he says, you know what? He says, they never bothered me today. And he says, this is really one of the best days I've had in the school this year. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Don't tell me taking authority does not work. You've got to know who you are in Christ, because the devil will want to tell you what? You're worthless. You have no power. You can't change the course of anything. You know what, devil? You're right. I can't. But I know the one who can. And do you not remember him, devil? Oh, Jesus, at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for my prayers. And I stand with boldness as I go. In Hebrews it says, come to the throne with boldness. Many times, us people, we can't go to boldness with that because we feel intimidated. We feel worthless, weak. We don't know. It's like, should I go to God? I don't know. He's pretty... No. If you know your Heavenly Father, you'll go right up to Him, man. Here He is. He's at the throne. I got a problem. I'm going to come up right to Him and say, hey, hey, God, do you notice me? I'm going to go with boldness. I probably wouldn't kick Him on the shins. I might go... Though it says in Hebrew, come to the throne of God with boldness. The devil has taken many people's boldness from them because he said you're worthless, because you're going through adversity. Evidently, God doesn't like you. No. You're not able to get this answered prayer or that answered prayer. Evidently, God is not hearing you. You're not valuable. No. No, no, no. The devil will come up with umpteen excuses why, and all I need to have is one answer. Jesus! Jesus! Oh, God! It looks like I'm losing! But I have just begun the fight. God is looking to see, Tim, are you still standing? Are you still waiting for me? Are you trusting me? It's coming! It's coming! Now, I may not answer it the way that I want it. But that's when we begin to grow in maturity with God, that it's not my way, it's His way. It's not my will, it's His will. If it wouldn't have happened where my son had another rough day, we'd probably have gone back to prayer again. And I would just have to, God. In each and every instance, the things with God in my life, each thing is handled differently. The way I answered it, or the way he answered it this time, probably will not be the way he answers it over here. But me, as man and human thoughts, I'm going to say, this is what I prayed, this is what happened, I've got a situation, I'm going to pray the exact same thing, and I'm sure it's going to happen exactly like that over here. And that's when you begin to grow in maturity with that of the Lord, that you realize that he doesn't do the same thing all the time through every situation. But the thing you do as you grow in maturity with that of God is this. You trust Him by that of faith that He's got your best interest at heart and He will take care of it for you. But you got to know Him. You got to come to Him. You got to serve Him. You've got to love Him. You got to worship Him. You got to praise Him. And when He's asked you to do things, you've got to take up that charge that God has given you and you got to go. It's not just a one-ended thing where it's a, God, okay, God, I want you to do all this for me. Just keep downloading it. No, there's responsibility on our part that God wants us to go and do some things to expand on that kingdom, to show that dominion, to show that love of His, to do whatever it is. Oh, now, have I ever had to pray like that again for situations? No. I've had situations in my neighborhood that I didn't like. Going on, you know, with the riffraff and all that. Some of it has moved, some of it hasn't. But anyway, please, when you pray and you see these things happen, do not lose sight of them. Do not forget them. Do not forget them. But it's taking up this dominion. It's having that rulership to exercise authority. I think that's one of the things. It's hard for us to really feel like we've got the authority. Because we feel like, yeah, we're timid. Like, I don't know. Do I really? I don't want to really upset God. God tells us to do these things. Amen? You're not going to upset God. Probably you're going to upset God more if you don't do what he has asked you to do. If you don't fulfill what he's told you, what you have. Oh, Jesus, this verb continues thought of a strong and sovereign ruling over one's subjects. On the noun part of it, it says this, that this refers to the realm of rulership, both geographical and governmental. Wow. See, we've got a lot of stuff within this control of dominion and rulership and subduing. Amen? Geographically, it could speak. It could speak of governmental that belongs to the sovereign authority. In the present reference, the Messiah's dominion is described as universal, extending to the ends of the earth. Ooh. Now, that's in Zechariah where, you know, it's talking about his dominion shall be from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. But that same thing that Jesus was about, or what God has, is what we have ourselves. You just have to go back to understand when Jesus says, the things that I do, you will do. The things that I have done, you will do even greater. Come on, man. That's Jesus telling you, Jesus, the Son of God, God in the human form, saying, the things that I have done, you will even do and do even greater. But you've got to know who you are in that of Christ. Once you realize that, and the devil has no control over you, he's still going to try to play with you. He's still going to mess with your mind. That's when you got to set him aside. To have dominion over something is to have absolute authority and control over it. Remember, God has ultimate rule over this earth. And we got to do it with that of love and kindness, taking that authority. When he delegated some of his authority to us, his creation, he expects us to take responsibility over what he has entrusted to us. See, God has entrusted a lot of stuff to us, this earth. Here it is. Have you ever received a present or something from a loved one or your father or mother or something like that, and they have entrusted it with you? Like, here's this thing, you know. It's yours. It'll do all kinds of things once you learn how to operate it, you know. He has entrusted so many things with us. We must not be careless or wasteful as we fulfill the charge that God has given to us. God created us to be his kingdom agent, to rule and subdue the rest of creation, including, now here's where it gets into, that of the aggressive satanic forces. There's a battle raging, guys. There's a battle raging in the heavenlies, which soon will probably infringe upon you. What that's saying is whatever is infringing, whatever's taking place in the heavenly realm and that spiritual realm will, even though you're not being bothered by it right now, it just may all of a sudden become part of on your radar. Ooh, now it's affecting you. I would much rather pray ahead of time and to have God take care of some situations than to wait for other things to happen. I want to close here by going into Psalms. Psalms 8. I want to just start reading in 8 here and wrap it up, and then I don't think there's a whole lot I want to share here, but Psalms 8, the glory of the Lord in creation. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength. Or you have established strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with the glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. I think maybe John probably referred to that a couple of weeks back when putting things under the feet and where to stomp. Anybody got your boots on for walking? Okay. You put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, that pass through the paths of the seas. In verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. So when we look at that, we're looking at some of the verses 4 to 8. Distinct from the rest of creation, he was given authority over the earth and everything upon it. Man was made to rule Our ability to exercise authority over the earth is dependent upon our, everybody said our, or my, willingness to submit to, serve, and obey the living God who holds authority over us. That's the whole key of getting this thing working in the right direction, is our authority. We've got to submit. Submit now. Some people don't like that. Our authority over the earth makes us accountable for the earth, the mineral resources of the earth's water, air, the species of the animal life beneath and upon the earth. For the waters of the earth should all be the concern of the government and individuals. Can we allow to pass from earth from life? Basically what this is getting into is that when we are given a charge of responsibility of these things, and it's also being that good with nature, okay, pollutions and things like that. But it's not a tree hugger. We're not to be tree huggers and things of that nature. But you are to take what God has created and to subdue it and have dominion over it, but keep it going and keep it replenishing. And God does a wonderful job with that. So as we come to the close of today, and I hope, if nothing else, please understand your level of authority in this place. And allow God to help you understand that even more if you don't quite understand that. Read His Word. Read some scriptures and all of what He has given us and told us to do in subduing and dominion, and do some studies on that. But realize that we are charged with a wonderful opportunity, and that God knows that we can do it. We just have to know that we can do it through that of God, and not to lose that ability of what He wants us to do. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let us pray. I thank you, Lord, that you are no respecter of persons, that, Lord, you look at us all as the same, and you have wonderful things for each and every one of us. I pray, Lord, for those that feel like maybe they're not worthy of it, and, Lord, how the enemy tries to continue to keep us down. I pray for that individual or individuals, Lord, that they would understand who they are in you, Father God. I pray, Lord, that you will rise them up or raise them up, Father God, to see who they are in Christ and that how much you love them, Father God. I pray for this week coming up, Lord, for all the kids, Lord, that are now going back into school, Lord, that you would keep them safe. I pray against any evil that would come upon this area in our community or surrounding counties, the state, even across this country, Lord, that you would protect these innocent lives, these kids, Lord, as they go to school right now. I pray that each child will have a wonderful time in school. I pray, Lord, that the teachers and the staff, Lord, that they will have the strength and the patience to work through these things. Lord, there are so many things that we can pray for our government and even for the school system and the things that they are teaching, Lord. And we will continue to do that on an ongoing basis throughout the school year, Father. And just thank you, Father, for this opportunity now. And thank you again for your precious word and how it ministers to us. In Jesus' name, amen.